Welcome to Mystery Time with
And then creepy sounds.
Hello. Welcome back to Mystery Time. I haven't done this in a really long time, so I have to say I'm a little bit nervous. And I'm going to try to be better today than I was the last time I recorded this, because my editor had to do tons and tons of editing the last time that we recorded this, because there was a lot of ums and likes from me, and I'm doing it again. I can hear it, and I'm really sorry. But I'm going to try. I'm trying to not do it. Thank you so much for being with me for another month. When I sat down to pick a subject to talk about this month, I was like, I can do like a murder or like some missing persons case, because I really want to do Lacey Peterson. But I was reading the news, and of course, as is customary, what's her name? Ghislaine Maxwell, I probably didn't say her name right. She has been all over the news for her involvement with Jeffrey Epstein, who, if you don't know who Jeffrey Epstein is, you've probably been living under a rock. Jeffrey Epstein, of course, trafficked, young girls. And they said that she facilitated it for him and recruited these girls. And it's disgusting, obviously. And so it's very, very interesting to me. Every time I hear people talk about Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, who's in prison right now, awaiting trial, I guess, because nobody talks about, not exactly the same, but something similar that happened in Mexican entertainment history. And that is Sergio Andrade and Gloria Trevi. If you don't know who they are, I'm going to get into everything that happened here in a second. But Gloria Trevi is this huge star in Mexico. She was a huge part of my childhood. I mean, like, I feel like when I was a little kid, I grew up listening to like Gloria Trevi and Selena, you know, and those were my queens, bitch. Like, I loved Gloria Trevi so much. I thought she was so cool. And she just didn't give a fuck about anything. And she was just so, like, weird. I don't know how to explain it. I'll get into it in a second. She actually went to prison, served 5 years for allegations of abusing minors alongside with her manager, Sergio Andrade. And to this day, she like served time in prison, came out of prison, remade her career, and is still making music and is a huge thing in Mexico. She had like this album come out like 3 years ago with one of Mexico's biggest recording artists as well. Her name's Alejandra Guzman. And they had an album together, and like every single tour that they played, like, sold out. So it's like she's still huge. And I have no idea. Every time I think about Gloria Trevi, I just think like this could not have like happened in the US. There's no way. Like, if we're living in the times of fucking Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, like this could not have happened in the US, because it's crazy that a performer that has this history is able to still be at the top of the charts. Like, it's so bizarre to me. So if you guys want to hear more, if you're intrigued, I spent 2 days writing all of this out, doing research and stuff. So yeah, let's get into it. So if you're wondering who Gloria Trevi is, Gloria Trevi was born Gloria de Los Ángeles Treviño Ruiz on February 15th, 1968 in Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico. Nuevo León is a state in the northeast region of Mexico. Although Monterrey is the second largest and most important cities in Mexico, at age 12, Gloria left to pursue an entertainment career in Mexico City, where she went on to audition for Sergio Andrade. But who's Sergio Andrade? Sergio Andrade was born on November 26, 1955 in Veracruz. At age 11, he was accepted to the Conservatorio Nacional de Música, one of Mexico's oldest and most important music schools. After playing in numerous bands, he went on to make a name for himself as a music producer, working with large Mexican artists like Veronica Castro, who, if you don't know who Veronica Castro is, Veronica Castro is like, I don't know how to explain it. She's maybe like the Diana Ross of Mexico, honestly. he went on to work with big artists and then ended up becoming the youngest artistic director at CBS Mexico at the height of the network's popularity. By 1982, he was the most successful music producer slash composer in Mexico. In 1985, when Gloria Trevi was 17, she became the member of a girl group called Boquitas Pintadas, which translates to Painted Lips. The group was managed by Sergio Andrade. One of her bandmates was Maria Raquel Portillo, also known as Maria Boquitas. Maria Boquitas, coincidentally, weirdly, was married to Sergio Andrade, even though she was 15 years old. The band was called Boquitas Pintadas because at the time, every other group was trying to copy the boy band Menudo, and Sergio Andrade thought it would set them apart from the rest. Unfortunately, it did not. The group actually fell apart. Mari Boquitas went on to become divorced from Sergio Andrade, but they still stayed on good terms. She actually went on to become the backup singer for Gloria Trevi. It's so bizarre to me. Like, just even reading this, like, I wrote all of this, so I already know everything that happened, but, like, it's just, like, bizarre to me how, like, this woman is still popular and is still has a platform. Anyway, by 1989, Boquitas Pintadas had broken up, and Gloria Trevi had convinced Sergio to manage her as a solo artist, impressing him with her writing. ¿Qué hago aquí? Was released and was a massive hit. Her song Doctor Psiquiatra, which translates to Doctor Psychiatrist, went to number one, and Gloria was referred to as the Madonna of Mexico. In a culture where traditionally women are expected to be homemakers and be very modest, Gloria sported ripped tights with her butt spilling out of her jean shorts, big hair, and she would openly hump the ground in the middle of performances. When she was invited to perform on Televisa, Mexico's biggest network to this day, she was asked to tone down her stage persona, which she refused to do, making her unmarketable on the network in the process, which only made her more popular. Besides being controversial, Gloria Trevi was important because she addressed issues such as religion, prostitution, drug trafficking, hunger, the upper class, and war deaths in her music. She challenged Mexican machismo and often turned the tables on men by bringing them up on stage during her performances and stripping them down to their underwear. She also made numerous nude calendars during this time, talking about women's empowerment of, you know, sexual freedom. Trevi's straight sex talk and pro-choice statements found powerful enemies, with priests in Mexico denouncing her and anti-abortion officials demanding the government ban her live performances. So she was this girl came out swinging, you know? She was so big in Mexico, nobody had ever seen anything like Gloria Trevi. You guys can look up performances of her on YouTube where she literally... I was watching one right before I started this because I was waiting for my AC to go off. She's performing Doctor Psiquiatra in front of a crowd. I'll link it in this post. But she's running around the stage and there's like a second level to the audience and she climbs the wall and then runs around. And she's wearing the tiny little dress and you can see her underwear. She's wearing like rib tights and she's like running around like just singing and, you know, like shaking her head. Like she really didn't give a fuck. And it was something that was not expected in a country like Mexico, honestly. Even to this day, I constantly struggle with my identity as a woman in my culture because I feel like a lot of who I am clashes with traditional Mexican values where women are expected to serve men. There is a lot of machismo in Mexico. If you don't know what machismo is, it's basically like misogyny and it's just regular traditional gender roles where women are supposed to serve. In Mexico, I remember when I was a young kid, I never understood why like my aunts would serve my uncles to eat first and then the men eat first and then the women eat after the men are done. Like it was just weird to me. It never made sense to me that I was expected to do more around the house than my brother was because he was a man. If you don't know this about me, I have a ton of tattoos. And when I started getting tattoos, it was like my mom, even to this day, will ask me to cover them. You know, don't wear that out. You can't go out in public like that because it's not ideal in traditional Mexico, you know, and traditional values. So to see, when I was a little kid, I mean, I remember seeing her run around with like her hair crazy and just thinking she was so cool. And now as an adult, I still think she's so powerful and exactly how she came out and the way she was marketed. But she also had a lot of issues. Gloria Trevi openly talked about how she was never diagnosed as autistic, but she felt like she was autistic. She said sometimes she would get confused, and openly talked about how she loved living in hotel rooms because she didn't have to like clean up after herself. Like, there was always, I wouldn't say there's something off, but she did talk about her mental struggles and talk about how she was never diagnosed, but that she did feel like she might be autistic. In 1990, at age 36, Sergio Andrade began courting and eventually married 15-year-old Aline Hernandez. Remember, he was previously married to Marie Boquitas, who also, at the time, was 15 years old. The marriage lasted 2 years and ended when Aline was 17 years old. Gloria's career kept gaining steam, and from her success came influence, of course. Gloria and Sergio ended up setting up an academy for young girls, taking custody of girls as young as 12 years old, whose parents were eager to sign them over to them for an opportunity for them to become a superstar like Gloria. They trusted them. In 1994, Karina Yapor, age 12, met Gloria after a concert and convinced her to let her join the academy. Karina Yapor traveled as a part of Gloria's clan for many years, despite gossip magazines in Mexico reporting that Gloria was being treated like a pawn to Sergio's perversions. They said she was enticing young girls to come to him because of his making her a star. By 1997, when Karina was 15, she was pregnant with Sergio's child. So if you notice, there's a trend here. Marie Boquitas was 15 when she married Sergio. That ended. He married Aline Hernandez. They were together for 2 years, and then they got divorced when she was 17. Then Karina Yapor becomes pregnant at 15. In 1998, like everything that was speculated was finally confirmed when Aline Hernandez, his ex-wife, remember, released a book talking about her time with Sergio. Sharing that she had lost her virginity to him and calling it one of the worst moments of her life. She called Sergio a pervert and a sadist, in addition to writing about how he had subjected all of the underage girls to physical, sexual, emotional, and psychological abuse. As pressure and speculation began to mount in Mexico, Karina Yapor's parents signed and released a statement saying Sergio and Gloria took excellent care of their child. They said that she was treated really well, that they'd had no suspicions of anything that was being talked about being real. They didn't know it at the time, but their daughter had actually been pregnant, obviously, and she went on to abandon her child at a Spanish orphanage, where when the infant was taken in, he showed signs of really bad malnutrition. In early 1999, the Mexican Foreign Ministry became involved, meeting with and informing them of Karina's pregnancy and subsequent abandonment of her child. Her parents went out in the media and declared their daughter missing, publicly accusing Sergio and Gloria of corruption of minors. Several girls who had been in the sex slave ring and who had escaped came forward with their own experiences, speaking about being beaten, raped, abused, and starved. One young girl named Delia Gonzalez claimed she was recruited by Gloria Trevi and was forced into making a pornographic film with Sergio and had been beaten and raped by Sergio for 9 months. Around this time, a lot of people started saying, why doesn't Gloria leave? At one point, around the time that all of these speculations started to like get really, really bad in Mexico, Gloria came out of nowhere and announced her retirement. People thought it was to make some of the scandal die down. A lot of people that were also, that had previously been in the clan, said that Gloria was in love with Sergio. And that's why she just did as she was told, that she was being brainwashed by him, which is just unfortunate, but I don't get it. I really don't get it. By 1999, after mounting public outcry, Mexican authorities filed charges of corruption of minors, sexual abuse, and kidnapping against Sergio Andrade, Gloria Trevi, and Sergio's former wife, Mari Boquitas. Instead of turning themselves in to the authorities, the three of them and their troop of about 12 underage girls fled first to Spain, then to Chile, and then to Argentina. Two sisters left in Sergio and Gloria's care that fled with the couple to Brazil gave birth to two children of Sergio's in 2 years. In Argentina, some of the other girls were able to escape and return to Mexico. So if you are keeping count, that's three children that Sergio has so far fathered with minors. Karina Yapor and the two De La Cuestas twins, kids. It's just fucked up. Like, let's just admit that it's fucked up. You know, like, you're probably sitting here being like, bitch, how did they get away with this? I don't know. I don't know how they got away with it. I really don't know. But just listen, Andrade, Trevi, and Boquitas then moved to Brazil with three remaining girls, where Gloria Trevi, who had previously talked about thinking she was autistic, like I said previously, recently she's talked about, when she's like talked about her time in Brazil, she's talked about enjoying wandering around the neighborhood and eating at a local bakery. And it's like, just that statement itself, it's like, dude, you know, like the government is like searching for you. Like, you're on the run. Because people think you're corrupting and you're just like eating at a bakery. Like, I don't know. You guys probably think I'm crazy. While on the run, Gloria had also given birth to her own child with Sergio, a daughter named Ana Dalai. Although by the time an Interpol pursuit ensued and they were taken into custody, Ana Dalai was mysteriously dead. And nobody had any explanation as to what had happened to the baby. They had left her to die. I've watched a bunch of interviews with Gloria where they ask her about what happened to her child. She says that she woke up from a nap. She asked to see her child and somebody like told her like the child's not crying. And she was like, what do you mean it's not crying? She went in the room and the child was dead. They don't know what happened to her. There was no body. When they extradited Gloria back to Mexico, Mexican authorities did try to see if they could charge her and Sergio Andrade with homicide because of the child dying while they were in Brazil. There was no body. There was no explanation. Nobody had any explanation, although it has been speculated that maybe one of the young girls, because at this time, some of the young girls were helping take care of the child for Gloria, because apparently Gloria Trevi wasn't in that great of state of mind. So, you know, it has been speculated that maybe somebody did something to the baby. Nobody knows what happened. To this day, Gloria maintains that she has no idea what happened to her daughter, which is just I can't. And this whole thing is just, I can't. In 2000, Mexico requested to have all of them extradited back to Mexico. Brazil ruled that they needed more evidence to consider it. The three were moved to a Brazilian prison where, although conjugal visits were prohibited, Gloria became pregnant with her second child, with Sergio. While in prison, Gloria wrote a book and painted herself entirely as an innocent victim, calling the girls they corrupted greedy liars, saying that they were victims to their own ambitions. She said that she had gone along with everything because of his control over her and how much she feared for her life. In 2002, after 3 years in a Brazilian prison, Trevi and Boquitas were extradited to Mexico to face charges. They were jailed awaiting trial, but by 2003, it was obvious that Mexican authorities were having issues finding concrete evidence of their crimes. On September 21, 2004, she was finally acquitted by a Mexican court, citing lack of evidence. She had spent a little less than 5 years in prison. And she came out of prison, never looked back. I mean, I guess she didn't ever looked back, but she came out of prison and came back to Mexico and released an album. Ever since all of that happened, she has always continuously painted herself as a victim. She has maintained that she was afraid for her life, that none of it was her fault. even though Aline and a lot of the other girls who came out and spoke out against Gloria and Mariboquitas and Sergio Andrade did talk about how Gloria was a willing participant to a lot of orgies that Sergio had. They talked about how she, you know, not encouraged it, but she very much was passive to all of it. And it's just so gross to me. I'm sorry, like that's, maybe that's fucked up to say. Because maybe she was obviously a victim, but I just don't understand how you go through that, right? And you enable that behavior knowing that you are the reason that these children are being turned over to you by their parents because they trust you. And you still get to keep your platform. Like, she is huge in Mexico. She's huge. A lot of the, I do believe that Karina Yapor, the little girl who actually left her child in Spain, did actually get her child back. And now she is, I believe, an anchor woman in Laredo, Texas. And she lives with her son. Her son lives with her. She has other children. It's crazy. In the time that we're living in right now, you know, we have conversations about how disgusting Jeffrey Epstein is and Ghislaine Maxwell and like, Sergio Andrade, like, fathered, like, five children within the clan while they were at the height of their popularity. Like, five children with minors. Like, he's in Mexico growing old with his grown children. He got remarried and had other children with another woman. And it's like, how was this allowed to be? How did these people get to go about the rest of their lives? Like, what about these kids, these girls that have to raise these children now, you know? These two twin sisters, like, who both fathered children by Sergio. Also, if I get anything, like, any details a little murky, don't come for me. I spent so long doing this research because it's so hard for me to, like, read in Spanish and so if I get something like here or there off, I'm really sorry. Don't hate me. I tried my best. So when we have a conversation about Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein, why are people like Gloria Trevi allowed to have a platform is what I do not understand. This is not meant as an attack on Gloria Trevi. I would be lying if I said that I haven't listened to her music. Her music was a big part of my childhood. When I was a kid, I was obsessed with the song that she had, Doctor Psiquiatra. And I was also obsessed with the song that she has called Pelo Suelto. She has another song called Virgen de las Virgenes, which is like basically Virgin of the Virgins. And she talks about like, I don't know. She talks about like just sexual freedom for women, about she just wasn't soft, and which is something that I, as an adult, have become more, I've gravitated towards more. I'm not talking about like her as a person. I'm talking about her image that she portrayed when she first came out. Because she didn't give a fuck about anything and she was very much herself. She wasn't soft. She was, you know, like rowdy and she was fucking feisty. And it's something that I admired so much when I was a kid. And it's something that I've come to admire about women. I've noticed that I do gravitate to women like that. And I find a lot of myself in them because for a long time, especially in this community, I have struggled with feeling like I'm not good enough. Feeling like I see all these, you know, other people in this community that are like soft and like, and when I say like soft, I don't mean like in like they're weak. Obviously, I'm talking about soft as in like, oh, they're so soft and like, you know, so cute. And like, I don't feel like I'm like that. I feel like because of things that I've gone through, maybe it's made me a little more apprehensive. It's made me sarcastic and I like to talk a lot of shit, you know, and it's something that I struggled with. So when Gloria Trevi first came out when I was a kid, I just admired so much that she didn't care. She didn't give a fuck, you know, like she was going to do what she wanted to do. And if you didn't like it, then fuck you. It's incredible to me how she is allowed the opportunity to live in Texas now with her children. There is a big channel in Mexico called TV Azteca, and one of their biggest anchors is called Pati Chapoy. She is a gossip reporter, and she's very big in Mexico on TV Azteca. Pati Chapoy did cover, she was friends with Sergio Andrade, and she did also cover a lot of the Sergio and Gloria stuff. She also inclusively, I think, made really stupid remarks about Gloria Trevi when she gave birth in prison to her son. His name is Angel Gabriel. And Gloria Trevi has sued her in the time since all of this happened, like I think like 3 or 4 times, and has won every single time for defamation. A few years back, they made a movie about Gloria. It's called Gloria. It used to be on Netflix. I'm not really sure if it still is, but if you are interested in watching it, it's a pretty good movie. The girl who plays her is fantastic. She looks exactly like her. When the movie was going to come out, they interviewed Gloria about it. And Gloria said that she was not involved, that she did not approve of the movie. She was not happy about it. The movie came out and the movie portrays her exactly the same way that she has always portrayed herself. Like she's a victim. Like she didn't have control. Like she was coerced. She was afraid. She was in love with Sergio. And magically, after the movie came out, and everybody actually, some critics actually panned it because they said that they didn't feel that it was authentic, that the story was real, that the story was not told accurately, that they thought that she bears some responsibility about what happened, that these young girls trusted her and they were, you know, taken advantage of. And all of a sudden, after noticing that she was painted in a positive light, Gloria Trevi came out and said that she approved the movie and she loved it and she loved the girl who played her. So it's just, I don't get it. Living in the era of Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein, how there is a woman out there still having a career after this. It's incredible to me. So you tell me, if you're listening to this, you tell me, do you think that Gloria Trevi would have had a platform if this had happened in the United States or in any other country? If you live in France, if you live in, I don't know, Poland, if you live in the UK, do you think that in your country, somebody like her would have had a platform after all of this happened? Because I think back on all of this, I'm reading all of the stuff that I wrote down. It's incredible to me that this was able to happen. And yeah, anyway, that's mystery time for this month. Next month, I think it's going to be Lacey Peterson. If you guys would rather listen to a serial killer or something, let me know. Just send me a message if you have any ideas of something that you want to hear me cover. I would love for you guys to let me know that. I actually get really excited when you guys send me stuff. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope you are as confused as me as to why this woman has a platform. If you're not, like I said, this is not in any way, it must not be easy to go through what she did. You know, I'm not saying that she's not a victim, but I do feel like she bears responsibility because it was her influence and her popularity that made these children gravitate to her. I feel like that should be acknowledged, that she did have part in that. But I mean, only she knows, only they know exactly what happened. Only they have to live through it, which is something that I try to remind myself a lot about other people, is sometimes I can get very judgmental and I just think I'm not living their life. I don't know what that's like. So I hope you guys enjoyed this, and thanks for listening. Bye.